I have before me a passage in the book of Joshua, the fifth chapter. If you'll turn with me, we may spill over into the sixth chapter, but not very much. The fifth chapter of Joshua. And I want to begin reading at the verse 13. And just before I read, the context is they have, Moses has died. They've crossed into the promised land through the Jordan River. And now they have completed the their first part of the journey into the promised land. And the first obstacle was the city of Jericho. It was a great walled city. And here in the 13th verse we find, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. And I want to pause here for a moment. Joshua was contemplating the situation, I'm sure. But after 40 long years, they finally were to begin the process of claiming the promised land. And the scholars tell us that this city of Jericho, which was a formidable obstacle, was a great walled city. It was surrounded by two walls, the first wall being 20 feet high, 6 feet wide. The second wall, separated by a space of 15 feet, was another wall 30 feet high, 12 feet wide, and they were guarded. Impenetrable, could not get in to the city. It must have looked like an impossible city to conquer. The people who fought only with spears and swords and arrows, it looked like a tremendous obstacle in their path. But here we see that Jericho could be defeated. And God, the manifestation of this captain of the Lord's host was Jesus that he saw. Because if it were an angel, when he bowed down to worship, the angel would have stopped him and said, Don't worship me. But he didn't hinder him. He said, Take your shoes off. Because you're on holy ground. And this message this morning is about tearing down the walls. And I believe many of us have walls in our own hearts, in our lives, that keep us from getting to God's best for us, His blessings. Walls that prevent us from going deeper and more into Christ. It might be for some besetting sin that stands between you and God's best. It might be for some an old hurt that has turned into a root of bitterness, and now it stands as a border between you and God. It might be a cold and indifferent spirit that has invaded your life and has erected a wall between you and God. It might be a bad attitude, an unforgiving spirit, pride or anger, something in this life, a spirit of fear, hesitancy to step out. Whatever it is, it keeps you from going deeper in God. It keeps you from receiving all the blessings that he has. And I believe all of us, we want all the blessings that God has for us this morning. I don't think anyone is saying, oh, Lord, no, that's enough. I don't need all that blessing. I'm fine. I don't think anybody says that. I'm not trying to be silly or facetious here, but I don't believe that's the case. We don't recognize it as that. But the good news is the walls in our life can be brought down. Praise God. And how does this Old Testament story 3,000 years ago have to do with our battles today? We see Joshua doing reconnaissance on the city, deciding, I'm sure he was contemplating, now, how is this going to be? What's going to take place? How am I going to fight this? How do we even approach this? And there is a stranger standing there. And he immediately asked him, are you for us or against us? And you realize he doesn't answer. The captain of the large host doesn't answer. He just tells him who he is. Praise God. And you see, the first thing we got to do is fall at his feet and surrender. That's the issue, is we got to surrender. We got to give up everything and just fall at his feet. Praise God. We want the walls to come down. We want God to do the work. We want God to remove those obstacles. We got to recognize his authority. Praise God. Joshua humbled himself and bowed before him, clearly demonstrating that he knew who was really in charge, that God is in charge of our lives. Oh, praise God. Did you ever stop and think, who's in charge of your life? We sometimes don't think about it, but we act like we are. Like we do things and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And only if the Lord allows, praise God, he's the one who's really in charge of our lives. Oh, praise God. And we have to humble ourselves as Joshua. He humbled himself defenseless before this stranger. Defenseless. Total submission. Total submission. You want the Lord to work? Total submission. Total surrender. I think of the song we sing, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. That's what it's going to take, is surrender this morning. James writes, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And Peter writes, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Who's calling the shots in your life? Are you in the driver's seat? Oh, Lord, help us. Like Paul said, for to me, to live is Christ. Oh Lord, help us to respect your authority, to falling at his feet, humbling ourselves before him. Oh, praise God. And you know, when we humble and submit to him, it's God wants to do good things in our life. And Jeremiah writes, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Whatever he decides for you is going to be good. Romans, Paul writes, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And he writes to Corinthians, for our light affliction, which is built but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight. We must rest in his authority. Praise God, O Lord. In the Old Testament, like saying, I can't do this, but you can. I think of the book of Ruth, where Ruth goes back with her mother-in-law, Naomi, after her husband was killed in battle. Naomi's husband, Elimelech, and her two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, were both killed, all three killed, and one was Ruth's husband. But she went back with her mother-in-law to the homeland. And her property that the family owned, she wanted to sell. And the custom in the Old Testament was that they would, the next kin, the next relative, had first right to buy the property. So they went to him, and now Ruth was already in relationship with Boaz. You know the story of Ruth. I don't want to get too deep into Ruth, but she was already in relation with Boaz, and they sought out this relative, had first right to buy the land. And there's a moral to this story, so just bear with me a moment. And he said, you have the right to buy it. Do you want to buy it? And he said, well, yes, I'm interested. He said, well, you know, if you buy it, you have to take Ruth as your wife to keep the land in the family. And he backed out. He says, no, I don't want that. And one of the customs was he who sold the land or surrendered his right to act as a kinsman in buying land intimated by the symbolical act of taking off his shoe and handing it to his friend that he freely gave up his right to walk upon the soil in favor of the person who had acquired the possession. So symbolically, he took off his shoes and gave it to them. I don't have any right to this land. I didn't buy it, you bought it. And that land is a type of us, our soul. Jesus purchased us, praise God. He owns us. We don't have any right. We're before him. We're submitted humbly before him. And the angel and captain of the large host said, take off your shoes. An act of submission. I can't, but you can. That's what Joshua was saying. He took off his shoes. Praise God. We belong to Christ. Praise God. He has control over us. He's the one who directs our path. Praise God. Oh, praise the Lord. Submitted to his authority. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us this morning. And now we find, what is the plan? As soon as Joshua submitted, as soon as Joshua recognized his authority, submitted to his authority, God gives him the plan. And it's a strange plan. If you read on in chapter 6, he tells them what to do. Not spears, not swords, not any kind of equipment. But he says, take the Ark of the Covenant and seven priests behind it blowing trumpets, ram's horns. And let the people follow behind and march around the city once a day for 7 days, and on the seventh day, march around seven times. A strange plan. I think of Lisa's testimony. Brother Steve, the Lord says, run around the parking lot, jog around the parking lot. Well, that doesn't make any sense. Sometimes what the Lord directs us to do doesn't compute. We don't understand. Sometimes the Lord says, be silent. Just wait on me. Just hold on. And we think we got to do something. We think we got to step into action. And our mind begins to work and we figure, well, I got to do this and I got to do that. Try it as a pastor. Sometimes you see situations and the Lord and your mind goes and you say, well, should I do this and should I do that? And should I take this action? And there are things by the authority of the word that we could do. But are they right? Are they the leading of the Holy Spirit? Are they what the Spirit of God wants us to do and we have to wait on Him and say, Lord, confirm it. As the brother preached Wednesday night, Gideon put the fleece out twice. Lord, confirm it. Oh, Lord, help us. The plan was strange, but you got to follow the right plan, praise God. And Lord, you got to lead us. He's saying, just trust me. Can you imagine that, you know, Joshua was a hardened general. He'd been through many battles. Never had a plan like this. Coming against an enemy, I want you to take the Ark of the Covenant and the priest blowing the ram's horns behind it and the people walking. And I don't want you to say a word. I don't want you to taunt the people. I don't want you to speak. I want you to be silent the whole time. Strange plans require strong faith. Lord, help us. What do you want? Lord, help us to just rest in your promise, to wait on you. That must have been a long week for them. This is how we're starting this campaign. This is how we're starting this effort. I don't get it. But no one questioned it. They were in total submission. And it came from the very leader at the time, Joshua. This is what God said. And this is what we're going to do. Praise the Lord. That plan made no sense. From a human standpoint, from a military standpoint, from a logical standpoint. But all he required was walking. The scripture says, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. All they had to do was walk. No fighting. To walk. And it's abiding in Christ. In the New Testament, in John's Gospel, he gives us a reference in the parable that Jesus taught in John, the 15th chapter, about the vine and the branches. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except you abide in it in the vine. No more can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Oh Lord, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Abiding in Christ. Abiding in him, praise God. That's the key. Not just coming to church, that's good. But it goes way beyond that. It's abiding in Christ. It's having that Christ mentality, the mind of Christ. It's having that submission to him and that seeking for his face and seeking for his guidance every day. Paul writes to Galatians, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Praise the Lord. The life I live by the Son of God. Oh, Lord, can we say that this morning? Lord, help us to live by Christ living in us and moving through us by his Holy Spirit. Oh, praise God. Abiding in Christ. That is the key, and that's what he asked them to do. And when he did it, they did it God's way. He gave them the victory. If you read on in the sixth chapter, they marched around the seventh day seven times. And at the end, the walls were still standing, but Joshua said, "Now shout." And when they shouted, the walls came down. Praise the Lord. They obeyed. They obeyed. They just recognized his authority. They humbled and surrendered themselves to what God wanted. Oh, Lord, would you help us this morning? Lord, give us that spirit, oh God, that is surrendered unto you. Oh, Lord, that we just humble ourselves before the throne of grace. Say, Lord, what do you want? What do you want from me? Lord, show me the way. Give me the plan. Praise God. I can imagine before they shouted, looking at those formidable walls. And all of a sudden, the shout brought down those walls. What did it? Did God send an earthquake? I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But something took place. The walls came down. And the people of God were defenseless. And they had to claim the victory right then and there. They went into the city and destroyed all the inhabitants, as was God's plan. They could not let anyone live. That may sound harsh, but what God was directing them, it wasn't the city that was the problem, it was the people. And they would corrupt, if they were allowed to live, they would corrupt the people of God. We see that happening down the road if you continue and read in Joshua. Oh, Lord, help us. And do you have walls? Do you have walls in your life that have to come down? Maybe someone needs to be forgiven. Maybe you need to ask forgiveness. Maybe you need to look at your life and examine yourself if you're totally surrendered. Am I totally surrendered to the Lord? Am I living in that surrendered mentality? Or have you become complacent and satisfied in my complacency? And there's so much more to attain in Christ Jesus. To some, that testimony this morning would seem like way out there. Does that really happen? Oh, that must have been just a fluke, something very unusual. And God says, I can do it. God says, I'm here. Call on me. Seek my face. Trust me. When Paul writes, able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, we read those words and they sound so good and they roll off our tongue, but the reality doesn't sink deep within us. Lord, I want to see a change in my life. I want to see a change in our church. I want to see an on fire Holy Ghost people, praise God, that are hungry for God. That want to see the power of God turn loose. That want to see souls captured for the kingdom. Praise the Lord. Oh my God. Walls got to come down. We got to believe. We got to trust Lord. We got to take away the things that hinder our spiritual walk. And God says, it's possible. I can do it. Would you let me? Would you honor my authority? Would you allow me to work? Oh no, Lord, I'm praying for my grandson, or I'm praying for my daughter, or praying for whoever, and it's a hard case, Lord. I don't know. I'm praying, but I don't have that deep hope and faith within me. It's like the enemy has put a wall up and said, you know, don't get carried away now. You heard a great testimony, but don't get carried. It may not happen to you. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us to examine ourselves. What are the walls that hinder us? Am I truly surrendered to Jesus Christ? And I mean truly surrendered by his to his word. What does his word say? How does the word tell us to behave? What does the word instruct us to do? Many things. You can go back and forth in the epistles and see all the instructions in the word of God, the exhortations. Am I living in that mentality? Or am I taking the parts that please me or that are easy to fulfill and just living in those? Or am I taking the whole word? Well, the whole word is tough. The whole word may offend me. That's right, it may. Are you giving your all? Joshua, prostrate. Whatever you want to do with me, do it. Let me live or kill me. He was there defenseless. And that's the position spiritually that you and I need to get to. I'm examining myself. Lord, have I got walls that need to be torn down? Are there things, Lord, that are holding me back? As I was preparing the message, I was thinking, Lord, help me, praise God. I want to receive everything you have. I want to fulfill what you have for me in this life. Praise God. Oh, praise the Lord. Lord, help us this morning. And they shouted, and the walls came down. I can't imagine the expression on their face. I think it was like the damsel when Peter was supposed to be executed, beheaded, and he came to the prayer meeting when the angel delivered him out of that jail. And she opened the door, and she saw Peter, and she said it was a ghost. Have we not said when the Lord has worked, I can't believe it? Have you ever said those words? I have. I didn't mean it like I can't believe it, but that's the first expression that comes to your mind. I can't believe it. But that's the God we serve. Praise God. Prayer changes things. Trusting in the Lord. Abiding in Christ changes things. Don't matter. You know, the people were looking at these poor Israelites walking around. Look at those fools. Look at them blowing ram's horns. You know, sticks and stones can break my bones, but, you know, that's not going to hurt me. But they didn't realize what was behind it was the power of God. And that's what's behind you and I this morning, is the power of God. And we turn loose to him, praise God. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm going to read the 20th verse, and I'm going to close. Brother, sister, would you come forward? So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Oh, praise God. Lord, there are walls in our lives that need to come down. Walls that hold us back from receiving what you have for us. Some of you have been praying for the Holy Ghost a long time and wondering why hasn't it happened. And God is faithful. He wants to baptize you. And whatever it is, my brother, my sister, just submit, just surrender everything to him. Lord, everything. I give it all to you, praise God. In that moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in that moment, praise God. God reads the heart and he knows, and he will come, praise God, and honor his word. Fill you with his power. Praise the Lord. You've been praying for a loved one maybe for a long time, and almost to the point of discouragement, or maybe discouragement. saying, I'm praying, but I've given up. I'm praying, but I don't have that fervor that I once had. And I believe the Holy Spirit is trying to encourage you this morning. Allow me, just trust me. Abide in me, keep doing what you're doing, keep holding on. How long, Lord? How long, Lord? Until you come, we're going to hold on. We're going to trust you. Oh, praise God. Oh, Lord, help us this morning to bring down those walls. Bring down those walls that hold us back. They couldn't go further into the promised land until this obstacle was removed. You and I can't get deeper in Christ until that obstacle is removed. Fear, doubt, bitterness, whatever it is, remove it in the name of Jesus. Trust the Lord this morning. Lord, oh God, I know you're going to lead me in the right path. Praise God. May the Lord encourage you this morning. May he help us and strengthen us. May his name be praised. Do we have a song this morning?